Despite that nice story that Nicholas went through, let me tell you the real story. I sat down with Nicholas one day and we were talking about the possibility of me being president. And I said, why would you ever want a finance person as a president of this venture? And he said, well, you come late to meetings a lot, you look a little rumpled in your clothing, your hair, you need a haircut. You're clearly one of us. That's the truth. So Nicholas made the point early on that we are a nonprofit, and I want to make the point and once again thank our venture capital money. Instead of going profit, we went nonprofit. And these are the companies that are our partners, that remain our membership, and give us direction as being members of our board. All of these companies continue to contribute to the effort. It allows us to price the computer as inexpensively as possible so that we make no profit and we pass along that price to our constituent countries where we want to make sure that price point is as low as we can go. What's not on that chart is a bunch of other people and a hidden component of what OLPC is all about. There's the open source community that contributes ongoing to the code writing of our software, our Sugar software for educational purpose. There's a community in the Linux world that continues to contribute to the ongoing success of this, not for money, but for gain and gratitude in what they're contributing towards. And there's a support group of hundreds that provide the fixing of the computer, support in terms of help desk and fixing of the computers, particularly for the ones where we did the give one, get one, and the ones that landed in America and Canada. And these people don't get money. They have a call every Sunday afternoon. I jumped on the call this past Sunday afternoon. 30 people took an hour and a half out of their day on a Sunday afternoon to talk about how they can better the project itself. We even tried to give them laptops, but most of them refused, and they did a give one, get one, because they didn't want to take the gratitude and any kind of form of remuneration. They wanted to be a part of this whole project. But the business challenges are difficult in any nonprofit and any profit organization. And when you look at what we really are, taking aside those invisible people behind the scenes, we're 23 full-time employees and 30 consultants, or 26, 30 consultants odd, that are spread throughout the world to help us in our deployment. Hardly a big organization. And when you look at what Nicholas referred to earlier, as we're up to about 600,000 committed computers, that's a pretty good metric in the profit world on a per-employee basis for what we're achieving. He may get upset at this, but it's an academia model more than it is a business model. And we're trying to make that transition now in a form that allows us to remain successful in the marketplace. The fact of the matter, and in my background, just so that folks know, I've been the CFO and CEO of publicly traded software and hardware companies in the marketplace, and security software companies for that matter. And the challenges are many for individual companies that spend a great deal of their effort and time and focus an investment on one segment as compared to the large segment that we're trying to accomplish. We're at technology threats in every corporation. I can assure you that Nicholas's poster is on every blackboard and every hardware company in the world because they hate him. He is knocking their margins to hell right now. We set a new market, and the laptop computer makers of the world who had nice margins on a $600 or $700 machine are now forced, and you'll see more and more announcements over time of these computer companies competing in the space that I would argue is created by this man here and this group. And they don't like it. You don't get very good margins out of $250 machines, I promise you that. That much I learned in my corporate tenure. Distribution, deployment, support, we're not IBM Global Services, not with 23 people. And when we're now starting to roll these things out into the countries, this is the real moment of truth. We need help from the countries. We need help from our invisible environment that are helping us along the way. It's a difficult task. And we get frustrated at times, but we got to be realistic about it. And that's a difficult business reality that we're faced with, particularly now as we roll out in large volumes into countries. The non-for-profit status, and I would agree with Nicholas, it's really worked to our advantage in particular situations. However, at the front end, it's a credibility issue. When you're a nonprofit and you have a finance minister that's making a decision or an education minister to put down $50 to $100 million, they're a little bit less certain of their success factor with a nonprofit organization than they would be with a global multinational company. So that was a challenge, but we've gotten over that hurdle, and now we're into a different phase, as I mentioned. And then we need business partnerships. We can't do this all alone. We had a recent announcement with Microsoft. Microsoft actually went off and ported XP onto our machine, came to us and said, we got a great running machine here with XP. They lowered their price to $3 from what was $150 for educational purposes. And that's one example of a partnership that can help us expand our footprint and get to more kids, to more children in the world. We need more of them, and we need to stay focused in that regard. So if you look at the overall business challenge that we're faced with more than anything, that computer has in it so many factors that if you take and break up the factors such as the software on a standalone basis, the hardware on a standalone basis, connectivity, all these different factors, the screen itself, there are multi-billion dollar companies that are highly profitable that take each of those segments and make a business out of it. And here we are offering the whole package because no one else would do it. It would have been great if a computer company had stood up 3 years ago and built at a price point at this level and rolled it out into the markets that we're in. They wouldn't do it. We had to put the whole package together. And that's why you see these pictures of children enjoying the educational experience, because this is the only machine that provides that. Now, along with that comes the challenges. You're facing competition in each of those segments I just mentioned. And it's really very challenging as an organization. And then there's, of course, the price that we wanted to get to, the $100 price, which everyone thought Nicholas was crazy about. And as a sideline, there are times when he is crazy, believe me. But in this case, he was right smack on. What we did is we looked at what are these hardware manufacturers with the $600 or $700 price, what are they comprised of in their cost of sales, and what's their profit margin? And of course, half of their effort goes to marketing, sales, distribution, and things of that nature, which we skinny down and don't have to spend that much, if very little money in that area. And then there's the screen display, which we were able to get our price down with a lot of effort and a lot of back and forth with our supply chain. And then, of course, the software. And with Windows in a commercial application, it could be 25% of the overall price of the solution. And with Windows coming down to $3, thanks again, I think, in part effort to the OLPC effort in the education space, and with Linux being free and with no sales and very little distribution, we're able to get the price down. Now, it's not $100, but when you look at the overall financial model and what we're all about, we're trying to get to a zero price. We want to give computers to children in the world that would otherwise not have a chance for anything. And if you look at our Give One, Get One program, one would think that it was a media event. One would think that it was a marketing to get our name out there. And in part, that was the case. But what it really turned into was a financial event. It was a financial modeling event. Because what it allowed us to do when all those good people gave money and got a computer, and many of them, by the way, said, I want to give two computers. You don't have to ship me one. And many gave many. And that money came to build an inventory to kickstart what we needed to get going. And it remains a very important part of our supply chain management as we go forward. So the Give One, Get One, in essence, created a situation where we were able to match contributions to countries that could not otherwise have any computers. And they were fortunate to get contributions from some NGOs and some other organizations. And when we match them in that effort, they're getting 2 for 1, they're getting a $100 laptop. And that's where we're at right now, and that's the goal, and we've achieved it in part at this stage. But we're not done pricing, and Nicholas is going to present you the next model, and we're going to keep pushing the price down, and we're going to keep making more and more enemies out there in the hardware world. So, what good is a presentation without a finance slide, right? I had to do something in finance. And this is not a copy of our motherboard and the design for our motherboard. This is the way the funds flow when we do a transaction. You think it's easy? It's hardly easy. And we have a lot of partners that are involved in this. And I'd like to point out in particular one partner that has stood beside us, that has been part of our team, and that's Brightstar. Not only have they been instrumental in our sales support and production and deployment, but they also fronted the first LC that we needed to kickstart the into motion, the supply chain, and get it moving, get the factory moving as that picture depicted, and so on. They've been a terrific partner and very valuable to the overall project. Citigroup underneath. Everyone reads about what's happening in the banking world. Citigroup, maybe more than others, have been impacted by the subprime issues. They've had thousands, tens of thousands of layoffs in their organization, yet they value this program so importantly to the very nature of what they stand for. They've stuck by our side and continue to provide the backbone of our financial structure, which puts at ease the supply chain folks that are participating. You can't do anything without this kind of structure in place. But the real heroes in all of this is to the right of that slide. And that is the countries. Without countries, without the champions within the countries to take the risk and move forward and make it happen in their own organizations, without them bridging to that reality, we would just be a vision and a concept. They're the ones that bridge from the concept vision to reality. They're the ones that are on the ground making it happen. And we're very fortunate today to have two of our premier champions that we'll be presenting shortly here on what they've done in their particular countries. They're the ones that are the heroes. They're the ones that make it happen. They're the ones that light up those faces on the screen when you see a computer in front of those children. So I look forward to meeting up with all of you folks over the next 3-4 days for those of you who stay on. And I'm delighted to be a part of this project. I'm very proud and I feel privileged to be a part of this project. Thank you.